Good morning. Thank you for the invitation to share jump with you this morning. It worked out great for me. I usually ride my bike to work, so on this rainy, wet day, it was really nice to be in my car heading over here. I'd like to see a show of hands for anybody who knows what jump is or who has heard of jump before. Probably all of you now. That's great. I've been sharing this kind of a presentation, not this presentation, but for almost the last 6 years, and it's a little bit easier now that people have at least heard of jump. I had just a few renderings of an early design project 6 years ago, and the mission that has remained consistent, but did used to get a lot of blank stares and skepticism about what this project really is. So how many of you know that we've been open since last December? Opened our doors during open houses? Okay, a few of you, that's good. Has anybody attended an event, one of our open houses, our Exploration Day, Invent Idaho, been on a tour? A couple people, that's good. And who can tell me what jump is? No. Well, I'm glad I'm here that you did. Probably because you've been there before and participated in an activity.
No,
or
told me
because I told you earlier. That makes sense. Well, these are great opportunities to share this really mysterious project with everybody. What I've come to realize, though, is jump is a lot like Boise. If you're trying to explain Boise to somebody, you can tell them what it is. But until they live here, they don't really understand it. I was talking to a friend of mine just recently, who has recently moved to Boise, and she said, you know, Boise is the best kept secret ever. Had no idea. And I said, well, I've told you all the years, you know, all these things that we have here, but I think until you live here, you don't truly understand what a magical place this is and what makes it magical. I took my second son off to college in Kansas City a couple of weeks ago, and none of his new friends there had ever been to Boise. They didn't even really know where it was. And, you know, he said a couple of them, they were surprised that he had a full set of teeth and didn't show up in his overalls. So, you know, until you really live here and understand the quality of life, and really it's that sense of community, I think, that makes Boise such a magical, special place, you don't get it. And jump is like that. You really have to experience it in order to fully understand it. I will do my best to explain it to you today, and then feel free to ask questions afterwards, and hopefully you'll leave here with a better understanding of what it is. But I do invite you to come down to jump and experience it for yourself. We have some open houses, or we don't have open houses. We've had open houses. We have, we're offering tours on a weekly basis of the building and of just the tractors. We have a great tractor doctor on our team giving those tours. I left programs. Spread some programs throughout the tables that have. We've just started our first slate of fall programming, so I invite you to take a look at those. Come down, sign up for those. Our lobby has been open since last December, Tuesdays through Fridays from 10 to 3, so I invite you to come in. Just check out the lobby. You can also sign up for a tour down there. And hopefully we've had a lot of events going on, a lot of nonprofit organizations and community organizations actually just even renting this space to promote their own programs that are aligned with our mission. So I do want to start this morning by sharing our video. It's a quick, just a 2-minute video that really represents kind of the big picture of what jump is all about and sets the stage for it.
Thank you.
And that video, if you want to see it, and there's actually audio to it, a little sound in the background, you can visit our website at jumpboise.org and pull that up if you want to watch it again.
So over and over throughout our lives, we are called to the realm of adventure. But how often do we listen to that call? Eleanor Roosevelt once stated that the purpose of life, after all, is to live it, to reach out eagerly and without fear for newer and richer experiences. In other words, we grow and become our best selves when we take advantage of new adventures. This is a quote that is at our front door. It's embedded in the concrete. Actually, as you walk into our front door from the park lobby, it says, "When was the last time you did something for the first time? For each time we consider it, we have the same questions. Do I dare? And if I do dare, what potential dangers exist? And what's the possibility of fiasco? There's always a possibility of fear or embarrassment or even a fiasco that may prevent us from even trying. But although venturing off into the unknown may disrupt our comfort zone and..." "But although venturing off into the unknown may disrupt our comfort zone and require us to leave our cozy little hobbit holes, it's really this disruption with the familiar that is essential in order for us to open the door to new possibilities and to jump into a world of exploration. Because life really is for leaping, Jump is designed to open new doors by opening our minds and our arms and our hearts to new people and new experiences. It's a place for us to realize our dreams and to share our passion with others, and is designed to strengthen and unite our community by bringing people together from all walks of life to really celebrate all of our differences. In a nutshell, Jack's Urban Meeting Place, or more commonly known as JUMP, is a nonprofit, interactive, creative center and a community gathering place in the heart of downtown Boise. It's both a place, but more importantly, it's a thing. It's a lively fusion of environment and experiences and surprises that are all designed to spark new interests and uncover talents that we might not even know we have. It's a new and unique type of community space that takes the best of parks and galleries and creative studios, music venues, attractions, and meeting and performance spaces, and commingles them all into this one shared space for the purpose of explorative play. By bringing all of these elements together into one shared community space, creates opportunities for new adventures, for trying something new, for collaborating and meeting with one another, for expanding our imaginations and becoming inspired to discover our passion or the thing in life that really makes us tick and come alive. Because when we discover that passion, that's when we lead the most enriching life, but also can contribute the most to the world. And this is our mission, and it has been consistent. I've been sharing the same mission for 6 years now. We're creating an environment for inspiring human potential. We're creating an environment that will inspire people to dream, to imagine the possibilities, to generate new ideas, and then to become actively engaged as pioneers and innovators and entrepreneurs and artists. Because like Bilbo Baggins in The Hobbit, the guiding philosophy behind the project is that we all really have something meaningful to contribute, and we are all capable of achieving things that we never even thought were possible. And this is the real inspiration behind it. You saw this earlier, J.R. Simplot. He was an entrepreneur, an innovator, a risk taker, a man who followed his dreams and wanted the same for everyone he met. He really believed that when people are inspired, that there are no limits to what people can accomplish. There was a small sign that sat on his desk when he worked downtown in the One Capital Center that exemplified his attitude about business and about life. And it says that nothing will ever be attempted if all possible objections must first be overcome. And he had adopted that philosophy early in his career. And it's really, I think, this philosophy that forms the foundation to JUMP. Many years ago, J.R. had dreamed of building an agricultural museum. He actually purchased 110 antique tractors and steam engines back in 1998 at an agricultural auction in Billings, Montana, from a place called Oscar's Dreamland. And this idea was really the spark that has evolved to honor J.R.'s spirit, to dream up and to build this wondrous place where people can come, explore, and gamble on their own dreams. But because J.R. didn't have much of an education himself, he actually dropped out of school in the eighth grade at the age of 14. He truly valued education, and JUMP originated from his desire to show people, and especially young people, how we got to where we are today by sharing some of the past and inspiring them to not only ask the question of where do we go from here and how do we get there, but he wanted to provide the necessary tools and support to help people create their own roadmaps for a future where they can follow their own dreams and connect with their own sense of identity and purpose and passion. So the name JUMP is an acronym for Jack's Urban Meeting Place after J.R. Simplot, but really it reflects Webster's definition of the word, which is to jump in with both feet and enter into a new activity or a new venture wholeheartedly. And this is our site map, so you can see it. We are, as all of you look like you've been here before by now, between Front and Myrtle, kind of the two busy arterials in 9th and 11th Street. We are on a 7.5-acre site. It was originally designated as a brownfield site years and years ago due to some underground perk in the area and had been remediated and cleaned up and then sat for a number of years just as an asphalt parking lot with a few old warehouses along 9th Street. So we've converted that old brownfield site and parking lot into this creative center and a community gathering place for the entire community to enjoy. We started, if you watch the construction, we started by digging a big hole underground, excavated the site for an underground parking garage where we have 640 underground parking spaces. And then continued with the building that sits along Myrtle Street. Our main entrance is actually into Myrtle Street. If you did see the construction, you saw that we started after we excavated. There was a big concrete silo-looking structure that sat there for a long time, and that's really the core of the project. It's the core of drive aisles, kind of this helix that is meant for vertical transportation. So as you enter Myrtle Street into the project, you will eventually be able to take one of the helix ramps down below to the underground parking or above ground too. We have three levels of parking, some parking on the ground level, and then on the third and fourth level along Myrtle Street, our parking deck will have around 95 spaces. We have those there. Our parking equipment isn't quite finalized, so the parking is limited on site right now. Outside of our building, we have approximately a 3-acre urban park. As part of that park, we have this pioneer pathway that bisects the project. Starts over, we added a pedestrian crosswalk across 9th Street to make it easier to get from the Bodo area onto the site. And that pioneer pathway meanders throughout our site and then connects at the corner of Myrtle and 11th Street, where the CCDC, the Capital City Development Corporation, has been working on this pioneer corridor to link the Boise River Greenbelt, which is one of our most wonderful assets in our community. So pedestrians and bicyclists can get off that green belt, come down the corridor through JUMP and continue on to downtown Boise to make it a little safer and more accessible to downtown. As part of our park, we have a celebration circle. I don't have a pointer, but it's over here along 9th Street. You might have driven by and seen it. We have a couple, the lights lit. It's this great little space with these wonderful intricate lighting design. We had an open Thursday or two ago. At the corner of Front and 9th Street, we have what we call as the front lawn. We just seeded that a couple weeks now, and it's already germinating and looking really good, but there's still construction fences around that to keep people off until it's fully germinated and in. And then you can see the footprint of the Simplot Corporate World Headquarters building, kind of the L-shaped building along 13th and Front Street. Inside of that, we have an amphitheater that will be one of the last features to be built next spring, kind of end of next spring, actually scheduled to be open by next July. The timing of the Simplot Corporate Headquarters building is they're just finishing construction of that right now, and some of the first employees should be moving into that here in the next couple weeks, late October to early November, and they will continue moving in throughout the beginning of the year. There'll eventually be around 700 employees that'll be occupying that world corporate headquarters building. The Jump Park is really designed as a celebration of Idaho's agricultural heritage, but with a few modern-day twists. It'll be a place, once it's fully opened, it'll be a place for cool shade on a hot afternoon, or of activity in the downtown core on the weekends, and of meandering pathways and unexpected discoveries. It will host festivals and concerts, encourage play and celebration, and really act as the front porch for Jump, as well as the Simplot corporate headquarters. We, as part of the Simplot corporate world headquarters, there's also this enormous outdoor LED screen, so as you're sitting on Jump, and we have more outdoor spaces with terraces and stairs, pioneer staircase, and with the park, to use this big LED screen for outdoor concerts and performances and events. So once that's finished, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful community gathering place. The park will also include some fun features, such as a misty water feature. And there's LED lights on this misty water feature, so at night it really comes to life and the mist kind of dances. A blue top basketball court, which when I was growing up we called it the old black top, but is blue top circle kind of off of Myrtle Street near 13th. And an outdoor amphitheater that I mentioned. And then because Jump is really a place for trying something new, and every time you try something new, there is always an element of risk associated, we've included a couple safe but really fun and risk-taking opportunities. And I think I heard someone earlier say, oh, that slide, there's a five-story spiral slide. And I have been given a presentation for years, way before the building was even here, talking about this spiral slide, and until I stood, it starts up on the top of our, we call it the Myrtle Street Terrace, the very top of the parking deck, and look down five stories. It is going to be way more risk-taking than I ever realized before it was built. A lot of fun, though, too. We also have this eight-person team slide that is really a risky endeavor. It's two stories high, and you sit at the top and you look down, and it's pretty scary looking down because it looks like you go straight down, but it's also really fun. These are not quite accessible and open to the public quite yet. There's still some construction going on at the top of the Myrtle Street Terrace and on the bottom of this activity zone where they land. And then we do have, you might have caught a glimpse of this as you drive down Myrtle, this climbing structure. It's a three-story climbing structure called the Climber. It's this netted structure, and it's kind of designed like a big diamond, so you don't actually, if you did fall, you would just fall a little ways to a little net below you, but it is quite a risk-taking and a fun adventure. But all of these are really designed, they're for fun, but they're also designed to build self-esteem and self-confidence. So they really help you understand that, you know, you kind of might be nervous to do it the first time. You slide down that slide and you build that confidence. Hey, I did it. I lived through it and I'll do it again. And then hopefully that self-confidence and self-esteem can carry over to trying something new at Jump and throughout your lives. I'll just break down the building a little bit now. It is a unique, out-of-the-box, and we've heard a lot of people call it kind of a whimsical building that's intended to arouse our sense of creativity and imagination. All of the spaces are really designed to be flexibly used by nearly any organization because no one organization will ever call Jump home. Now, break down the spaces a little bit. The Pioneer Room is really our gala ballroom. It's up on the top story of that helix structure. It's an ideal multi-purpose gathering space for inspirational speakers, performances, and fundraising events. It'll be a place to listen to an inspirational speaker and take action to make change, or learn the latest from an expert and apply that to your work, or maybe watch a performance or listen to a concert that might have been created in one of our studios and then become inspired to take a class yourself. It will accommodate around. I can move through here. I'm going to move my screen. I can't see it very well. Accommodate around 350 people seated at tables, or closer to 600 seated theater style. And then below that Pioneer Room, it's what we call the Jump Room, and it's a large meeting space as well. It's less formal of a space. The Pioneer Room has carpet and is more of that the gala ballroom. The Jump Room is a little larger in space. It doesn't have a catering kitchen in here. But it does have a couple columns, but it's concrete floor. You can see there's a disco ball and a couple of these fun exhibits and attractors inside. We started last January, opened it up for an event called Invent Idaho, where we partnered with this nonprofit organization and hosted. We turned it into an innovation, a day at Jump, and opened it up to the community, but it really was intended to showcase these grade schoolers who had been participating and submitting their inventions into the Southwest Regional Invention Competition. So it was fun to see all of these grade school, more than 100 of them down there, sharing their inventions with the community and talking about them. And the Jump Room was an ideal location for that. And then in addition to these large two larger meeting and performance spaces, the Pioneer Room and the Jump Room, we have these five interactive studios. And our kitchen studio is called the Share Studio. It's the ultimate gathering place. After all, where do people naturally congregate? When friends and family come together, everyone's always hanging out in the kitchen. It creates opportunities for bringing people together from all walks of life, as food really has the ability to do. And it's a place for youth and adult cooking classes, culinary arts competitions, demonstrations, and community dinners. Some of the programs, if you look in your program guide, so upcoming programs are, there's an Iron Chef competition with pasta and sauce, flavorful fairy tales, a couple seafood classes. One is learning to make sushi, which I thought would be kind of fun, a healthy holidays program, and a taste of Peru, just to name a few. And we've been testing and working since opening our door, just building different programs, as well as team building and field trip activities that we haven't offered to the community yet, but we did have an opportunity to taste to try out a really fun one called Blind Tasting Bingo with a bunch of, it was a Title I school here in the Valley, and which was wonderful to have all these kids tasting all of these new ingredients that they were not familiar with before, but adapting that and into other team building programs for organizations as well as field trips in the future is one of our goals. The Make Studio is a wonderful space. There was a New York Times article, it's been several years ago now, that said that as Americans, we're just naturally inventors and creators, and once you give people access to the tools and to a right space that will allow that, there will be a resurgence of creativity and innovation. So this studio is an opportunity for kind of the insatiably curious to hack things open and to test them out, to tinker, to see how they work, or to design and develop a new product or creation. We have a 3D printer, a plasma cutter, some woodworking equipment, soldering equipment, a CNC router, and all of the equipment that most of us don't have access to these days in our garage for building and making. Some of our programs, my youngest son just took a hovercraft program this last week that was really fun. He actually built this big hovercraft out of a piece of plywood and a vacuum cleaner motor that they took apart. So really introducing people to how things work through some of these programs. And we're also working on some safety and basic use. We might eventually, or kind of our goal is to eventually open it up and build communities within each of these studios. But right now we really have to focus on learning how the studios work ourselves and developing some of the safety and basic use classes through these programs. Some of the upcoming programs in the program guide there's a learn to build stilts, an Idaho cribbage board, and a coasters class. There's a soap making demo, a soap making class, animated ornaments for the holidays. thought would be kind of fun, and a BattleBots class and then a BattleBots competition as well. Our play studio is our multimedia studio, and there's nothing quite like it in the Valley. It's a place of magic, creativity, and imagination. This studio is designed to inspire future theater producers, musical artists, animators, and others who want to use media to create. It'll be a space for the community members to learn how to write a screenplay or become experienced with camera technique and digital editing. Some of our programs that we have in the guide are, there's a podcasting, a video editing, an Idaho Filmmaker Forum, a writer's workout, an actor's class, animation with Adobe After Effects. And then Move Studio is a place of action and excitement where people of all ages and all experiences can come together and engage in all sorts of movement classes and programs, from yoga, yoda, and hula hooping to cultural dances from around the world. Some of our programs include an open arms dance class, Yoga for the People, which is actually a fundraiser for a refugee children's program. There's a Pound Boise, that's kind of a dance with some sticks, global inspired fusion and dance fusion class. So, and really, we're just kind of scratching the surface of what's possible at JUMP with these First Lady programs. They will continue to build and evolve, and we'll be tweaking them along the way. And then our Inspire Studio is really a place of innovation and inspiration. It's a creative think tank and an incubator space for brainstorming and developing new ideas. Space for collaboration, but again, not tied to any one organization. Some of the programs in here, the first, I don't know if anyone's seen Jimmy Fallon. Does anyone watch Jimmy Fallon? And there's one where he is always saying these words with peas and spitting food out. The first one reminds me of that. It's a find your purpose and passion through play and presence. That would be perfect for Jimmy Fallon's kid. There's a story studio that is designed to help individuals actually develop their own stories, that we're also having collaborating with the story night to have those monthly story night series at JUMP. So an opportunity prior to that for people to learn to develop and to share their own stories. There's a Spanish short story club and meditations for the chakras. And because JUMP is really it's a non-traditional learning environment with programs and classes and workshops, we really wanted to ensure that it was fun and inviting for everybody in the community and not just seen as a learning environment. So in addition to the out-of-the-box design that really invites visitors to explore throughout, we have developed 5 or 6 different interactive exhibits that we like to call attractors, and they're real unique pieces throughout. This is our JUMP exhibit. So as you enter into our lobby, this is really the first thing that you come upon, and it really sets the tone for what JUMP is about. It's actually an opportunity to film yourself jumping. There's a little camera. You push a button, it films you, and then it plays it back on a monitor above you in slow motion, and it is really hilarious to watch. There was a photographer, though, named Philippe Halsman, and Philippe had discovered that when you ask people to jump, that their attention is directed towards the act of jumping, so their mask kind of falls and their true person appeared. He took photographs of famous movie stars and presidents and caught these wonderful expressions on their faces as they jumped. So that was really the kind of the idea behind this. It's also a kind of a paradigm shifting opportunity. As you enter, you engage in this jumping act, and your mind clears and opens your brain for new thoughts and new concepts. So it's just a lot of fun too. And then in each of our 5 studios, we have what we call an attractor that are designed to attract people to the site, but they're all based on this premise of JR's tractor. So they actually have wheels, but they've morphed into these real unique creatures or designs. This one is called Taste Buds, and it is this big mouth. You actually sit in it. It is in our kitchen studio, our share studio. But in the share studio, we have these great windows called nanowalls that actually open up expansively. So although all of these attractors are on wheels, this is actually the only one that's mobile, so we can push her out into our Pioneer Plaza, or you might find it down along the Pioneer Pathway sometime, and just an opportunity to sit and brainstorm. We will eventually rent it out for certain occasions, but it does really kind of get the creative juices flowing as you're sitting in this big mouth on the tongue as a table. This one is called Showtime, and it supports our multimedia, our play studio. And it's designed like, if anyone watched the Beverly Hillbillies a long time ago, Jed Clampett's old truck, and you sit in there, there's a screen above you, there's costumes you put on. It's an opportunity for improvisation and acting, just kind of a fun way to introduce it to you. And it tells you, it gives you three different prompts to pretend like you're an actress arriving on the red carpet. So you act like that and it captures it, and then it plays those back to you, and it's really a fun and engaging opportunity for acting. This is our, we call it Flutterfoot. It looks like a big bug or a butterfly. There's a screen inside with this engaging, interactive component to it. So as you stand in front of it and move, it captures your movements with a series of colors. Anyone remembers the old Charlie's Angels, they did this, and there's all these colors behind it, or Austin Powers, it kind of reminds you of that. But it encourages you to dance and to move, and it supports our Move Studio. And that one sits in the jump room. This is what we call the Nest. It sits on a terrace outside of our Inspire studio. It's really an opportunity for hatching new ideas, we like to say. It's a little seating area, has Bluetooth capabilities, so you can play your own music or listen to a TED Talk or just sit out there and brainstorm. And this one is Deep Tinker. It also sits in that jump room. And it's a little workshop space. It supports our Make Studio for more of those opportunities that don't require all of the fancy equipment, but just to work on arts and crafts or come together. When we had the school children down there, I think every single one piled on it somehow and ate their lunches there. We've also used it for serving food and drink in the jump room as well. So if you think you're quite ready for your next adventure, jump in and let the adventure begin. Did want to just have some time to answer questions. If you visit our website at jumpboise.org, you can learn all about Jump. There's more on the history. There's a list. There's PDFs of, we have 51 of the 110 tractors, or we will have 51. We have 40 or some tractors on site right now. We're continuing to bring those from Billings, Montana, as our park becomes developed and ready for those. But we will eventually have 51 of those tractors on site when all is said and done. You can learn about times for signing up for tours. The programs guide is also on the website. And we also have Facebook at jumpboise. And register for a program. And once our site is fully finished, you'll regularly find workshops, programs, inside and outside, performances, festivals, and spontaneous interactions throughout the year, from the spring to the summer and throughout the fall and even in the winter. Are there any questions I can answer?
So you take your son to Kansas City to go to school, or is that the name of UMKC Kangaroo?
He is a Rockhurst, not a Ranger. He goes to a little school called Rockhurst there in the heart of Kansas City. Yeah, just a small little school. Loving it, though. Are you from there?
Well, I went to school
at UMKC. Oh, you did? Oh, okay, yeah. I think that's close by. Number of employees right now, and we've built, built a, we think is what a big team just since opening our doors last fall. Right now, we started with, there were three or four of us the last several years, and we're up to 19 right now. And we also, that's 19 kind of more of our consistent employees, and then hiring some instructors and others. But that doesn't include, we have Thomas Cuisine, so we have an on-site catering team that we work contractually with that are exclusive on-site caterers. So they have a great team of people to cook and to set up. I'm glad you asked too. We have, anyone's familiar with the Dish, we have the old catering chef, not old, former catering chef from the Dish. He went like old, he's young. Jared Couch, who's a wonderful chef, and he's on our catering team for the food. But, you know, eventually we are going to try to maintain our team. We probably have two or three more additions to make to that, maintain a small team, and then just bring in some individuals as we need for consultants and part-time and contractually. But we also have a security team. We have others that are separate from our part of our team, but we're contractually, a park team to maintain the park once it's all said and done. So. Oh, the slide. Well, you know what? We're hoping not to have a fee for that. It will be part of, and it won't be open full time. We have to actually program it, but it is an element that we want to, it's part of our, we're a nonprofit mission based, and it's part of our mission to inspire people and help them kind of open their minds and find their passion. That slide is part of that mission. So there may be opportunities in the future to work with a nonprofit who might use it for a fundraising event. But our intention is to open that up, and that's a feature that will probably open in the spring. And working, we've been putting a lot of thought into how do we open that and get the entire community down it at once. So if you have ideas, let me know. Yeah, it is going to be fun, and there's nothing quite like it. We actually went to the St. Louis Museum, the City Museum in St. Louis, Missouri, several years ago, and they have kind of the idea for the slide came from this 10-story. It was originally a shoe factory, and they used this slide to send the shoes down. It was their vertical transportation, and they've turned this old shoe factory into the city museum where almost everything, I think 95% of it's all recycled bits and pieces of the city, including a bus that's cantilevered, on the top, and an airplane, and they have the slides, and it's an amazing, if you ever get to St. Louis, it's a wonderful feature, or a wonderful place to visit.
The various venues that you offer an organization would then kind of contract with, would it be an outside organization coming in, what kind of fee structure might be using that?
Using
like in the amphitheater.
Anybody can really reserve the amphitheater to use. It does not. I should actually clarify that we are working with anybody that's mission related. So we have it in our video. It's a little misleading because we did show a birthday party or a wedding, and that isn't something that we are offering right now. Private events like that are not. We're not just a regular venue or a convention center. We're working with anything that's mission-related. So anything that's creative and out of the box and team building. We have some criteria so on our rentals application, but then we're working with individuals too just to ensure that they are to help guide, things and events and organizations that are open to the community that benefit the entire community are an easy partnership or collaboration.
I noticed there's on the video programs and editing and that, is that ongoing programs you're going to be offering?
Not, we're really testing and continuing to test, and we'll offer those that may be popular. If people can't sign up for those, if it's full, right now it's been difficult to test as we still have construction fences along the perimeter of our site. So right now we are testing a lot of those. Will be repeated into, we're starting with really quarterly programs. So these programs, if you notice, run through the end of the year, and then come January, we'll have additional programs with a little bit different theme. Right now, our theme is sharing, is caring, kind of the share. Sharing theme. In the winter, we'll have a make theme, but still a lot of different programs can fall within those kind of greater themes.
Mm-hmm. Is there any open space? In other words, I see many like a dance class, or the, you know, cooking and playing. And is there any open, like for example, if I want to encourage teaching Japanese at school?
Mm-hmm.
How many students have to be there to start with? And
you don't. Yeah, there's not. There's a program proposal. So if you had, and that's, you know, JUMP is about. We have our studio coordinators who are overseeing each of our studios. And they are teaching some of the classes, but then the other classes are designed to really incorporate and invite the community to share their passion with others. So there's a program proposal that anybody interested can fill out, and then we look at those as we're moving forward and develop, hey, how do they fit into the big schedule, the theme, moving forward. So. Well, no, we will have space, so you can go to our website, and there's also a team page, and submit your request to a programs.jumpboise.org, and we're continuing to accept those on, because it does change. Every quarter it will change. For this quarter, it's probably too late because we've marketed those and are testing, but for the next, you know, it's just starting January, but we're accepting those right now, looking to the future. So that would be awesome. Mm-hmm.
Parking, 650 spaces plus you said additional 95. Is that just for this complex or for shopping downtown?
You know what? It's really intended. We won't be able to strictly monitor our 95, but with the parking meters in place and with our location, it would make more sense. You know, we're not going to have monthly parkers. Parking in ours. The underground space is actually designed as a separate entity from JUMP and is designed to provide employee parking for the Simplot employees. After hours and on weekends, though, we'll open up that space to, so if we have a festival going on at JUMP, we'll open up the underground parking garage for anybody in the community. But those will, during business hours, will be mostly limited to Simplot corporate headquarters employees. The 95 on our site are intended to support those programs and events going on at JUMP, but they will have some parking fees and Well, you know, we also like to encourage, there's other garages downtown. There'll be, Gardner's working on another one next door right now. There's, you know, it should be. And we do like to encourage biking and carpooling and walking. So, we'll see.
Could you talk a little bit about the funding and ongoing support that you guys will require?
So it is, JUMP is a privately funded project by the Simplot Family Foundation, and they have established an endowment for a good portion of our ongoing, although it our goal is to kind of start weaning ourselves out of that as we find revenue-generating areas, which there are, you know, our rentals, although there are two nonprofits, like in October, we're booked right now. Our spaces are all booked, so we have that revenue. The programs are more mission-related within each of the studios. It's nice that our goal is right now to break even on those, but with a combination of the endowment and the revenue areas, and then we'll find other areas as well to help lead towards more sustainability, kind of self-sustainability. But we are fortunate that the Simplot family has vision and is willing to support this kind of project, because it is more of a project of the heart than of the mind, and you wouldn't do it without that funding. It would pencil out.
Could you share more about this celebration circle?
Yeah, it's that great outdoor space. It's concrete. There's actually a gas line in the middle, so we could eventually have a fire pit or bonfire down there. But it's really an outdoor space. that, for instance, we used it for First Thursday, that just invites the community down. It's open to the community. You know, we see, envision little mini markets or a kids marketplace or makers markets that tie into maybe the Capital City Public Market in the future. Other performances, outdoor performances, just a great little space for events and programs and opportunities for outdoor programs. And it's along 9th Street, and you're welcome to come in and look at that. There's little concrete seat walls and some flower beds, planters around that just create this great little space out there.
How big is it?
I haven't measured it. I'm not sure. Come down 9th Street and wander through that space. It's one of the outdoor park features that is accessible right now to come and hang out. We do have Wi-Fi throughout the site as well. Well, thank you for your time this morning and for coming down and all the questions. Appreciate it.